Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on this last Sunday in January. Where has the month gone? So it's good to see everyone here this morning, maybe a little less because of the weather, but you were brave to get out, so it's good to see you. We have been blessed. The rain has not been real hard, and it's giving it time to soak in because the ground isn't frozen, and also we don't have to scoop it, so that's another plus. And Larry, thank you for filling in this morning. We hope Pastor Roberta gets recovered from her bronchitis soon. The call to worship will be on the screen, and I think we're all together. God of love, holiness, and strength, we thank you for the gift of your presence with us this morning. Continue to make yourself and your way known to us throughout our lives. Grant us grace to follow you in faithfulness, joy, and peace. We are yours. Amen. We will have our opening prayer now, also in unison. As we gather here in the harbor of your safety, we thank you for fellowship and family. We ask that you strengthen us, restore us, and inspire us with your love. Lord, would you fill us with your peace so that as we journey onwards, we would pour out your love and grace to others. We ask that our souls would catch the wind of your spirit so that we would take your promises to all the earth. Amen.
Good morning again. The weather and sickness and everything has kind of taken a toll on our people out there. But we're so glad that you are here with us, and we know that God is here with us, and he's also out there with the other people who could not be here. He watches over us all. Okay, let's go to God in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we know that you love Judy and all of the people that have been mentioned here today. We're asking you today to be with them and give them strength and courage as they travel through their journey. We come to you with faith, knowing that you never leave any of us alone. And we thank you every day for that. We know that you care for us and you teach us how to care for others. Thank you for the doctors and nurses and all the helpers that you send along the way, all the angels here on earth. Amen. So if the ushers will come forward. Father, today we praise you for creating the heavens and the earth and all living things. As we are your creations, we want our lives to be pleasing to you and to bring glory and honor to your name. We ask that you would bless these gifts here today, that they may be used to further your kingdom here on earth. Amen.
Good morning. Good to see y'all. You ever get involved with something and you have this path that you think it's going to go and you start to get down it and all of a sudden it shoots off to the right or the left and you think, holy cow, how did I get involved in this? Well, the same thing kind of has happened to me in doing the little sound perchy thing that we do up there, because originally, it started out just doing the worship service and meetings or whatever that someone needed sound. And then I realized people started asking about doing pictures and music for visitations and celebrations and wakes. And all of a sudden, I'm in this thing I know nothing about. I'm trying to make it meaningful for the family, and I know how to turn the computer on, and that's about it. And so it has evolved to become a real blessing in my life, because I realized in the wakes that there are two parts. The first part is before the wake begins, and the family alone comes in to pay their respects and to steel themselves for what they know is coming in the next couple hours. And I get to sit there and listen to their stories. The stories of the families and their relationships and who was when and where and what they got to do. And then that time passes, and then strangers start coming in. Very seldom does the whole family that is receiving know everybody who comes in. And it's always wonderful to hear, especially the younger people, will look at someone older coming in and they'll have to introduce themselves, and then obviously they'll say how they were acquainted with the deceased. And invariably the young people will look at them and they go, I never knew that. He never told me. I didn't know you were a part of that life. And so there's a look of joy as they suddenly celebrate the connection that they have with each other unknowingly till that moment that they shared the life of this person. This came home to me when we had the Judy Weber celebration. I got to give one of the eulogies for Judy, and I had mentioned that Judy loved music. And of course, everybody knew that. But I said, I knew Judy loved music when she played that organ 52 years ago tomorrow at Cheryl and R's wedding. That was the first time I'd ever heard Judy play. And so I had opened up the organ just as kind of a symbol of my respect and love for Judy in having played that and did that service for the church so long. What I didn't anticipate was after the service, four or five of her granddaughters came up and took a picture of the organ. They wanted that connection. Obviously, they had not known that that was a part of her life, that they were young enough that she had not done that anymore after the after she had got retired and didn't do it. So they had no idea. It also brings home to me when I watch that transpire what I've heard so many times from members of the congregation. We come and we worship and we say hi and how you doing, and then we go home and we don't really know anything about each other. And I've heard, especially when we sit on each side of the sanctuary, Cheryl and I did a deal several years ago, I don't know if you remember, where we had a goal of sitting in every pew on each end until we got it all done, until we had sat everywhere. The amazing thing is we met so many new people that we did not know from the time of just sitting in the back. So I got to wondering if there was a way that we could get to know each other a little bit better than what we do, other than just coming here and sitting and looking at each other on Sunday morning while we worshiped. So I've designed a little exercise to see if we can do this. Some of you are already going, uh-oh, so don't get afraid. I'm going to ask you a few questions. Nothing embarrassing or too personal. No right or wrong answers, just some things I think people might be interested in about you. What's different about how we're going to do this is I want you to pair up with someone here this morning, hopefully that you did not come with, but if you're really uncomfortable with that and wanted to stay with that, you can do that. You can do that. But I would encourage you to sort out someone that you didn't come with. And I bet they're going to be more interesting than you think. So I know some of you are a little more loquacious than others, and so we are going to, that means you talk too much, for those who don't know what loquacious is. So we're going to work on a timer, on this exercise to keep you moving forward. So the first timer will be for 1 minute, and you have 1 minute to find a partner. So Steve, if you could give me a 1 minute timer. Okay, go. Find a partner. Oh, I can't believe this. God's at work. An even number of people this morning. Cool. 18 seconds. Quiet. Sit down. Get your partner and sit down. Here we go. Okay. First question. We're going to start out with it. Quiet. When the timer goes off, you have to be quiet. Okay. First question. We're going to start out with an easy one so you get the drift of what we're doing. Steve, I'm going to need the 1 minute timer again. First question. Also, I need to tell you that you need to decide who is partner A and who is partner B, because we're going to switch so that the same person doesn't have to go first. So just kind of decide who's an A and who's a B. Okay? That shouldn't take a minute. Okay. Here we go. What is the better fruit, apples or oranges?
Better.
Which do you prefer? Which fruit do you prefer, apples or oranges? Okay. Everybody got an answer? Anybody not have an answer? Okay, moving on to the second question. Partner B is going to answer first. We'll go to the minute and a half, Steve. And so I'm going to give you 15 to 20 seconds to answer, to think about it, because some of these are going to take a little bit of thought before you answer. And so partner B will go first on this one at the end of 15 to 20 seconds. No cheating back there. What is your favorite Western, TV series or movie? Steve, start, give us a 1 minute time. Or a minute and a half, yeah. Sorry. Okay, so I'm going to give you about 15 or 20 seconds to think about it. Okay, everybody, person B, tell them your answer. Favorite Western TV series or movie? All right, anybody not shared their answers? Person A, you can tell. Anybody? Everybody know? You've all changed your answer? Okay. Third question. Partner A will go first. What is your earliest childhood memory? Time? 15 to 20 seconds to think about it. Earliest childhood memory. Okay, 20 seconds. Partner B, you're going. Partner A, I'm sorry. Don't mean to confuse you. Not that any of you remembered. Partner A, what is your earliest childhood memory? Partner B, share your childhood memory. Okay. Anybody not exchange their answer? Yeah, I see a few of you still exchanging information. Wayne, you can turn around and tell Teresa your answers if you'd like. Jim might be more receptive. I don't know. You could try. Okay. Fourth question. Partner B will go first. What person other than a family member has influenced your life? Now, this one's kind of embarrassing because I know most of you are going to pick me. So you need to, so you're allowed to go with your second or third choice on this, just so it doesn't get boring. Timer? Huh? That's ever influenced your life? Yes. We'll talk after. You guys could be exchanging answers. Okay. Okay. Partner B, go. Tell the person what's your person who has most been influential. Okay. Next person. Everybody exchanged? It's not, you guys are fast. I thought it would be harder than this. Okay, next question. Partner A first. A place I have visited I would like to return to. Okay, partner A, you need to go. And partner B, if partner A has answered, you can go. Next question, partner B will go first. What happens when we die? What happens when we die? Partner B? You need to go first if you haven't started answering yet. Partner A, if the other partner isn't done, you need to start now. What happens when we die? Okay, if you're still answering. Okay, this last question. Partner A, you will go first. You can only listen to one song the rest of your life. It doesn't play all the time, but anytime you want to hear music, you have to listen to this song. What is that song? This is probably the hardest question. There's a lot of songs, but you only get one. You've all got a song. Okay. Partner A, you need to divulge your song. Partner B, you have one song that you can listen to the rest of your life. It doesn't play all the time, but when you want to listen to music, you have to listen to this song. Okay. So what has really been the point of this exercise? Yes, to get you to know each other a little bit better. But more importantly, I think, is to get you to think about your life a little bit. These questions are not as random as they appear. They cover your life from start, your earliest memory, to the end, your death. The people you've met, the places you've gone, and the things you enjoyed while you lived that life. But what if I had asked a different set of questions? You don't have to answer these to each other, but think about them for a minute on your own. There's no timer on this, Steve. Who do I need to forgive? I really hadn't anticipated anyone having that many people, but limit it to four. Who needs to forgive me? Well, there is that. What is the biggest regret in my life? What is the hardest challenge you've overcome in your life? When could I have helped someone and didn't? And have I influenced anyone in a positive way in my life? Steve, could you put up the scripture this morning, please? Try and keep these questions in the back of your mind as we read the scripture this morning. So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. You see, God already knows all the answers to what we mentioned today. Sometimes we want to think he doesn't, but he does. He told us in those scriptures that no matter what you've done or what you think here of yourself, am I worth no more than a couple sparrows? Of course you are. He has promised that to us. We are worthy. It says he knows you down to the number of hairs on your head. Now, for some of us, that's easier for him to know than others. But, hey, that's up to God. But he also knows you to the very being of your soul. That is why he sent his son. That no matter the mistakes or the blessings, the people you've enjoyed, the things you've done, or the people you've hurt, if you believe in his son, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Thank you for giving your son to know that he is with us as we make this journey in this river of life that we travel upon. Bless us, keep us, keep our loved ones safe. Be with those that are no longer with us. Amen.